darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I am your host, Abraham Hamilton III, joined by Corner Contingent right across from me, your friendly neighborhood woodaholic, still in recovery, is manning the controls right across from me, Marty Sparks, ladies and gentlemen, lighting up the dark from there in the screening room. We have producer extraordinaire, often imitated but never duplicated, the real Jay Mack, and we're ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time job where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome, where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to do so with intentionality, understanding the significance and the primacy that God places on family, and recognizing that worship is a lifestyle. It includes lots of activities, but it is a lifestyle. And the pinnacle of the lifestyle of worship is obedience. It is obedience. You know, we're at a state in a nation's history, and I've been saying this, and I will continue to say it. I'm grateful for the mercy that God has bestowed upon our nation, but we have to understand that that is, in fact, what it is. It is mercy. God has given us a reprieve to allow his bride to be enlivened to be about his business in the time that he's afforded us. We're having all manner of insane conversations, and I'm going to get into this in the next segment, but tomorrow, the United States Supreme Court will hear oral arguments in the Scarametti case. This is a case that I've been telling you guys about where the state of Tennessee passed a law to protect its minor citizens, children is what we're talking about, from the trans-insanity gender cult that would inflict upon them permanent bodily mutilation procedures or chemical procedures that could forever alter their anatomy or their biology. We're having this conversation not even 10 years after the Obergefell decision was rendered, which acknowledged same-sex marriage in our nation. It's a pivotal point in our nation's history. We have that going on. You have declarations of martial law in South Korea happening. You know, we've been warning about this, illegal aliens smuggling weapons from the United States to North Korea. Oh, yeah. All of that happening. But none of it is more important than what goes on in our homes. We have to understand that. We have the opportunity, starting right at home with our families. And I know we have a wide array of people in different stages of living. But the concept of ministry has kind of been twisted away from what it is biblically. First and foremost, ministry is never meant to be, you know, a select few. Every believer is called to be a minister. Every believer. While we're on that topic, the church was never meant to be understood as a building. A building is a building. The church is made of people. So as you're tuning into this program, I want to encourage you, if this would be your first time doing so, glory to God. But let today be the day where you lead your family in worship, starting right in your own homes. And remember what I said, worship is a lifestyle. There are activities that I do in my family. We sing hymns together. We read the Word of God together. I offer devotions to my family daily. But what's the point of me leading my family in a devotional time if my lifestyle is completely contradictory to what I'm showing them in Scripture? That dog don't hunt. And much of the sanctification that God has afforded or is requiring of his body, we've neglected it because too many of us have outsourced the responsibility to be salt and light starting right in our own homes. So if you've never done so, let today be the day where it begins. And if you have already been leading your family in the proper manner, I want to encourage you to continue to not become weary in well-doing, but to continue to press in by the grace of God, because we have the opportunity to shape destinies, to shape nations, but most importantly, to shape eternity, starting right in our own homes. To the word of God we go. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. It's astounding to me how much wisdom we have become conveniently ignorant of. And there are things that in generations past we wouldn't have to have conversations about that we now have to have conversations about. To say it plainly, I'm sick and tired of adults using children and sacrificing children for their own agendas, their own aims, and ultimately, what a lot of it comes down to is money. Let's get in the Word of God first, and I'll explain what I'm talking about. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. This is what the Word of God says. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath, or some translations will say garland there, a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If sinners entice you, do not consent. These few verses in the book of Proverbs, these offerings of proverbial wisdom, indicate what used to be common knowledge. God gave children to parents because he, among the things that parents are responsible for, it includes protecting children. Adults used to understand that our jobs were to protect children, even protect children from themselves. This is conventional wisdom. This is things that we all have understood. This is why even prisoners understand the prisoners that have the worst time in prison are those who abuse children. Yet we are entering a place, and this Scrimeti case is a perfect example. One of the major reasons why this trans insanity has taken hold, this gender cult has had such a grip in the medical establishments around our country, is because of the money. It's not the only reason, but it's a big reason. It's because of the money. The Lord warned us that the love of money was the root of all manner of evil, all types of evil. Money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all types of evil. And it is because of money that we see this continuous willingness to harm, to injure, to even slaughter children for the preferences and conveniences of adults and for money. You see the same thing with the abortion front. You have the combination of sexual immorality and then the capacity to generate profit based off of that sexual immorality. I told you guys the story of the Scarlet Lady is what the title of her book was. This woman who was an abortionist in Texas, by God's grace, the Lord saved her, opened her eyes. So she started exposing some of the strategies. As the owner of an abortion clinic, she sought to expand her profit margin. So what was her strategy? Get sex education taught in public schools at the earliest grades and ages as possible, because that gives you the most frequent opportunity to not only have clients for abortion, is what she called it, but repeat clients. Translation, you have a young girl who's impregnated, and you get to kill not one, but multiple of the children that she creates as a result of sexual immoral activity. Now we have this gender insanity And it is just astounding to me that it's actually a question that is being litigated to the highest court in our land, whether or not states have the authority to protect children from medically assisted self-harm. I'm going to get into this more so in the next segment in some more additional details. But we used to understand the verses I read from Proverbs, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." It communicates something that should be normative, that fathers and mothers exist to help shape, guide, instruct, nurture, protect children. Children. With the encouragement, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Do not consent." We have the exact opposite happening in our society. We have adults not only enticing, but encouraging submission to the enticement of what the scripture regards as sinfulness. I haven't even got into, which I will, the scriptures where the Lord prohibits men being effeminate. And this is where, you know, the Revoice movement, the gay Christian movement, what an oxymoron. No such thing as a gay Christian. No such thing. Just like there's no such thing as an adulterous Christian or a fornicating Christian or a lying Christian or a thieving Christian. You don't define your Christianity by a particular sin proclivity. What a blasphemous assertion. It's abominable. But you have, but say, well, hey, you know, what the Bible condemns is only the homosexual sexual activity. That's just a flat lie. The same, it's a flat lie. Jesus himself literally said, you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. I say to you, if you look upon a woman with lust for her, you have committed. The Lord came not merely to conform our conduct, but to address, the legal term would be, the inchoate crimes, the attitudes and the intentions of our hearts. That's why purity is not merely abstinence from a particular activity where you're longing for it over and over and over. Purity is a purification at the motive level. The scripture condemns, God condemns men presenting themselves in an effeminate manner. The scripture condemns women presenting themselves in a masculine manner. These are things we used to understand. But because of the prevalence of sin, mankind seeks to socially nullify the truth of God's word. And I'll just tell you very plainly, I don't care how many people may agree to do so. I don't care how many people may say, hey, this is a new movement. This is a new time. You need to get with the times. Listen, God's standards for righteousness don't change with the times. In fact, this is why the Lord warns us that even men's hearts are desperately wicked, that will inevitably, if they are not submitted to Christ and regenerate, they will inevitably lead men to pursue wickedness. But instead of having parents, and I'll say this more broadly, adults who recognize, you know what? If you want to do something that is permanent to your body, if you want to change yourself in a permanent manner, you have to wait until you're an adult to do so. There are any number of things that we don't allow children to do because of what we know about children, the formation of their minds, of their brains, their maturity, their adolescent decisions. We won't let minors get tattoos on their own, but we're going to let them permanently mar their capacity for bearing children or nursing children? It's an exercise in insanity. And I want to tell you that the motivation under the surface is demonic in origin. If you care so much, care enough to protect minors from the uncertainty of adolescence, to allow them to mature without mutilating their bodies.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Psalm 112, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord! How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. I mean, I will never forget having conversations with legislators in Louisiana in the run-up to the state of Louisiana passing its amendment to define marriage as the exclusive union of one man and one woman, and saying that the minute our society rejects God's design for marriage, we are inevitably opening the door to everything else. I was a younger man at the time. It was before I even went to law school. And I remember being mocked and, I was slippery slope fear-mongering and all of these things. And I remember saying things like, you're going to have conversations about mainstreaming polygamy. You're going to have conversations about people pursuing liaisons with inanimate objects. You're going to have conversations about the establishment of pedophilia as a sexual orientation. And here we are. I remember sharing on this program the efforts to reclassify pedophiles as and pederasts as minor attracted persons. And here we are less than a decade after the Obergefell decision in 2015. Well, the United States Supreme Court is now hearing a case, whether or not, a case to determine whether or not children can be protected against medically assisted self-harm. And I describe it that way because you have children with the fickle nature of children saying we want to do things irrevocably to ourselves because how we feel internally. And you have adults saying, yeah, that's a good idea. Many of you have heard the testimony of our sister in Christ, Laura Perry, who's been right on this program, who lived as a man. She's a woman. She lived as a man for 9 years. She underwent surgeries, including mastectomies and other things. And then she realized, you know, no matter what I do to my body, I'm still a woman. God opened her eyes, saved her soul. By God's grace, she is now a married woman today, something she never thought she'd enjoy. That is not everybody's testimony in this regard, but that is Laura's testimony. Some of you are familiar with the account of Chloe Cole. She's also known as a detransitioner. She was experiencing struggles with her body as she went through puberty as a young girl, started on a regimen of cross-sex hormones at the young age of about 12 or 13. That culminated at about 15 or 16 to where she subjected herself to a double mastectomy. She explains that her parents loved her, but her parents were deceived by physicians who said to her and said to her parents, would you rather have a living son or a dead daughter? Putting the emotional and psychological manipulation upon the parents and saying that you have to succumb to this, otherwise your child will commit suicide. That's the manipulation that's employed over and over and over and over. Even though we have people like Dr. Johanna Olson Kennedy, who is the director of the gender clinic at the Los Angeles Children's Hospital. Who, in 2015, guys, this is how long ago this was. So at the exact same time the Obergefell case, I want y'all to see this. The exact same time the Obergefell case is making its way, ultimately being decided by the U.S. Supreme Court in 2015, Dr. Johanna Olson Kennedy was working in Los Angeles conducting a study on transgender youth. And her theory, her hypothesis before the study was that providing these hormones to these children will increase their mental health standards as a result. She conducted the study for 2 years. Guess what the results were? These cross-sex hormones not only did not help, they made the situation far worse. Far worse. In contrast, there have been numerous studies that have shown that children who struggle with dysphoric conditions, that if you do nothing, you don't do any social transitioning, you don't provide any medication, you don't do any genital surgical mutilation, you do none of those things, the overwhelming majority of those children, upwards of 80% of those children, will function properly, fully reconciling what they feel in their hearts and what they think in their minds with their biological makeup. The study that Dr. Johanna Olson Kennedy pursued, again, in 2015, because the results were not what she wanted them to be, she refused to publish the study. Now, my heart breaks in considering that this is all happening while Chloe Cole, among others, are facing this exact same thing. What could have been different in this young lady's life? Because Chloe Cole, as I told you, endured a double mastectomy, only to realize, oh, you know what? I'm a woman. As a young girl, I had struggled through puberty. Lots of people have, you know, struggles and things during puberty and things of that nature. But that doesn't mean that you're in the wrong body or nothing like that. You know, I've been around my mom when you're going through menopause. You know, when you have various surges of hormones, all kinds of things can feel off. But that doesn't mean that anything is off. And so Chloe Cole is giving the testimony. She said, you know, because of the manipulation imposed upon my parents and because I didn't have any adult to protect me from the trans insanity cult, I will never know what it's like to nurse my own child. Never. I'll never know what it's like to nurse my own child. There are all kinds of horror stories. We have young boys who are subjected to these so-called puberty blockers, and it arrests their physical development, and they take them long enough to where they never get to the place where they have fully functioning body parts. All because of confusion during adolescence. What is wrong with us? I can tell you story after story after story. A lot of these trans insanity cultists would point to, you know, Nordic countries. Well, they're preventing these things from being imposed upon children now. Yet we're having this debate. Listen to a little bit of Chloe Cole sharing a portion of her own life journeys. Clip number two. Clip two. Go.
My name is Chloe Cole, and I am a detransitioner. Another way to put that would be, I used to believe that I was born the wrong body. And the adults in my life, whom I trusted, affirmed my belief, and this caused me lifelong, irreversible harm. I speak to you today as a victim of one of the biggest medical scandals in the history of the United States of America. I speak to you in the hope that you will have the courage to bring the scandal to an end and ensure that other vulnerable teenagers, children, and young adults don't go through what I went through.
I'm sharing this with you because oral arguments in this case, the Scrimeti case, are set to occur tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Central Time. Very simply put, the issue at hand is what the state of Tennessee did to protect its minor citizens from the adults in the medical industry and even some parents who are misled to protect their children from having these irreversible procedures and medications imposed upon them as adolescents. That's literally it. That's what the law says. The state of Tennessee passed a law following an expose on the Vanderbilt hospital system where they were doing these procedures and the legislature wasn't aware that it was happening because of the money connected to it, folks. That's what it is. And they say, no, if the children become adults and they still want this stuff, that fine, do that when you're an adult. But as an adolescent, we're not going to let this happen. Tennessee led the way in their more than 20 additional states who have passed similar laws. The reason why this is so important is because of the outsized impact that it could have upon all of the states in our union. Because if the Supreme Court were to rule that Tennessee cannot protect its minor citizens, well, the obvious logic that will flow from that is nor can other states protect their children. Now, I don't expect that to be the conclusion, but I want you to know the stakes of the case. I've explained on this program when we had, you know, AFA Action Senior Counsel Trey Dellinger on the program. He drafted a legal brief, an amicus brief on behalf of AFA and AFA Action. We had legislators from every state that has these laws to protect the minors to join our brief. They simply say hormone therapy, medications, and surgeries to mutilate the body parts of the healthy body parts of children. You can't do it to children. That is all. That is it. And the reason why, among other things, that we filed this brief is to encourage the court to do what's right, to do what's right biblically, to do what's right morally, but also to contend for the fact that reality is real. You guys have heard me say that if a person is deluded, you are entitled to your delusions, but you cannot compel me to abide by your delusions. I cannot fathom why a parent, why adults would be so eager to allow children, yeah, Johnny, go ahead and snip, snip. Yeah, Johnny, go ahead and interrupt your healthy bodily processes. And I don't say this to be provocative or to be insensitive, but there is no amount of medication or surgical procedures that any person can endure that will change a boy to a girl, a male to a female, a man into a woman. It's not possible. It's not possible. I want you to be aware of oral arguments tomorrow. I also want to ask you to join me and millions around the country in praying for this particular case. I've said before, many of you like me have wondered, well, what would it look like when you said, as it was in the days of Noah? It looks kind of like this. Well, men will do what is right in their own eyes. Well, what do you mean? It means like this. Instead of adults aiding children, I've told you guys a story that my second youngest son was convinced for a long time that he was Spider-Man. He didn't just like Spider-Man. He was Spider-Man. What kind of father would I be? I'm like, yeah, son, go ahead and climb that wall. Oh, you on the balcony upstairs? Go ahead and swing on down here, Spidey. Everybody, including many of these trans insanity cultists, would say, oh, that's child abuse. That's child abuse. But in this instance, why? Because it fits a narrative that adults want to pursue, and it is financially beneficial. What a sad state of affairs, man. And it's quite sick. It's quite sick. On the one hand, and I wholeheartedly expect the U.S. Supreme Court to rule in the proper manner, I expect 5-4 at a minimum. I wouldn't be surprised if it was 6-3. I wouldn't even be surprised if it was 7-2. I know Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, the one who in her confirmation hearing said, well, what is a woman? Well, I'm not a biologist. I know she's a mom. I wouldn't be surprised if she says, now you talking about cutting on the babies. You talking about cutting on the children. I wouldn't be surprised if she said, nah, I'm not doing that. I'm not expecting it. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised. I'll be looking to see what Justice Gorsuch rules. I know in the Bostic case, in the employment context, he extended the Civil Rights Act prohibitions on discrimination on the basis of sex to the idea of gender identity in the employment context. Will he expand his rationale beyond that? It'll be interesting to see. I don't expect him to, but I will be watching to see. You can watch these oral arguments if you have the time and availability at the Supreme Court's website, supremecourt.gov, or I know C-SPAN will cover it as well. I plan to watch the oral arguments to see what questions are presented by the justices. But this is a defining moment in our nation's history. Because the question, it seems like a very simple question with an obvious answer. Do states have the lawful authority to protect its minor citizens against medically assisted self-harm? The obvious answer should be, if anybody in the states want to do this, they should have to wait until they're adults. But we're not going to allow a child, to permanently alter their bodies, to permanently eliminate, mar, or diminish their reproductive capacities permanently as their children. I mean, what type of people are we? We don't even allow children to drink alcohol. Now, I'm not crazy enough to know that children don't do it, surely, but not with government consent. Hey, you can't do that. But hey, yeah, you go ahead and chop whatever you want off. Chop it off. Interrupt your biological development. Go ahead. Guys, that's insane. That's insane. But this is where we are as a society. And I know people want to say that this has nothing to do with the Obergefell. I object to that notion. This is a downstream consequence. Because if God's design for human sexuality is irrelevant for marriage, why does it need to be relevant for biology? They're connected. But by God's grace, I pray that truth prevails and that the reprieve that the Lord has extended to our nation will also be extended to the children in our nation, to where even they will be protected from adolescent fickle ideations.
In the darkest corners of the world, hunger, abuse, lack of clean water and shelter are everyday realities. Tomorrow Clubs is a ministry motivated by the Great Commission to bring God's love and the hope of the gospel to these forsaken places. Here's an update from a team leader.
One of the greatest impacts Tomorrow Clubs have had is in raising a whole generation of Christ followers. More than 500,000 children have learned to follow Jesus in their Tomorrow Club, and tens of thousands have gone on to become leaders in their churches and communities. A great many of the leaders serving at Tomorrow Clubs today came to faith in a Tomorrow Club, and this new generation of Christ followers has brought revival to dying churches and transformation to communities.
Tomorrow Clubs provide Christ-centered discipleship for children and teens in underserved countries. To learn more about how you can partner with Tomorrow Clubs to reach the world for Christ, visit tomorrowclubs.org. That's tomorrowclubs.org. All gifts are tax deductible. When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Quarter. Abraham Hamilton III here. I should have mentioned that Chloe Cole does have a lawsuit pending to where she's suing the physicians and the medical practitioners who manipulated her and her family. I believe her suit will be aided by the revelation that this Dr. Johanna Olsen Kennedy refused to publish data that she had. We're not just relying upon foreign nations' data. This is data that was funded by the American taxpayer, a grant she received from the National Institutes of Health, and she refused to publish the results of the study because they didn't agree with her predetermined commitment, I would say. That will be something that should bolster her efforts. Now, I'll move on to another topic, and this is just, you know, par for the course. I've long said that the opening our southern border is nothing more than the Cloward Pivot strategy applied to illegal immigration. We've now learned just today, an illegal immigrant from China was arrested because he expressly came to the United States for one purpose: to be an agent of North Korea. Yes, and he was arrested smuggling weapons to North Korea. Listen to and watch this clip about Xinghua Wen. It's clip number three. Clip three, go.
Frank, Jess, good morning. That's right. The U.S. Attorney's Office just wrapped up this press conference here at the federal building. Now, they say this is an issue of national security. And the suspect in this case, well, he admitted to FBI investigators, essentially saying that he was chosen to do this job because, quote, he is good at smuggling. Now, take a look at these photos. These are some of the images shared with us during the press conference, evidence tied to the case. According to the criminal complaint, the suspect is a person by the name of Xinghua Wen, a 41-year-old Chinese national who was here in the United States illegally, specifically living in Ontario, California. He was taken into custody today for allegedly buying and exporting guns and ammunition to North Korea at the direction of North Korean agents who funneled to him $2 million to purchase the equipment. We're told that last year in 2023, he shipped two containers of guns from Long Beach to Hong Kong, where they were then smuggled to North Korea. Additionally, according to prosecutors, Wen admitted to trying to obtain military uniforms in an effort to help North Korean soldiers disguise themselves and conduct, quote, a surprise attack against South Korea.
Yeah, nothing much to see here, I guess. I'm just, you know, Chinese illegal immigrants just getting into the country, recruited by foreign nations to aid our national enemies. I guess nothing much to see here, I guess. I mean, this concern about illegal immigration is just the right-wing conspiracist talking point. You got old Xinghua Wen over here, old Xinghua. And his mama name is Xinghua. I'm going to call him Xinghua. Old Xinghua over here saying, they recruited me because I'm good at smuggling. They found old boy, according to the Department of Justice, when they arrested him, they found via a search warrant chemical threat identification devices, a receiver that detects eavesdropping devices, 50,000 rounds of 9mm ammunition. 50,000. Just all the chilling in Ontario, California, you know, kicking it with your boy and them, you know. Crazy, guys. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Then you have this wonderful gym. Kamala Harris's campaign raised over $1.5 billion. When you add that to the amounts of money raised by PACs and groups that supported her, the total exceeds $2.5 billion. Yet, the Harris campaign ended $20 million in debt. Now, how you do that math? And I would remind you, her campaign lasted 100 days. Can you imagine burning through that amount of money? And then get this. The election has been over for weeks, right? I mean, my name ain't Marty McFly, and I hadn't hopped in any DeLoreans anytime soon. Ended up $20 million in debt. All of those celebrity interviews is funny. I saw this scandal playing out. Because according to the FCC filings, the Harris campaign paid Oprah Winfrey's production team about $1 million for the interview. Oprah insisted, I didn't get paid for that interview. Ma'am, Harpo is Oprah spelled backwards. That's your production company. And then she came and said, oh, those are for production costs. Yeah, sure. Sure. Production costs. Well, the election has been over and the Harris campaign is still sending out emails to raise money. And it is sending Democrat supporters into a tizzy. Listen to and watch clip number 4. James Carville is quite upset about the situation. Clip number 4.
But the resistance is going to have trouble raising money. These fundraisers are burnt. They're really and the damage that the 2024 campaign has done, the damage that this decade has done to the Democratic brand is almost unfathomable. Almost unfathomable. But I would say the policy number one is we're going to audit everything. We're going to audit the campaign. We're going to audit Future Forward. We're going to audit the DNC. So people can know, but I'm telling you, without complete transparency, the campaign, we think, raised $1.5 billion. Okay. We know that Future Forward, last we saw, was $900 million. So we can assume that they got to $1 billion before election. That's $2.5 billion. Do you have any idea where that money went? Does anybody have any idea where that money went? I mean, I have some places I started looking. And it's all, Albert, I promise you this, the amount of money and the amount of lobbyists that were involved in this campaign is staggering.
It is staggering. And not just the amount of money, but think about the time. In that brief amount of period, you burned through $1.5 billion to where you $20 million in debt. I guess that $1 million to Harpo Productions and $10 million to Beyonce to show up at a rally in Houston, and she didn't even do any music. $5 million to Shake Your Tail Feather, Megan Thee Stallion, and $2.3 million to Lizzo, and, you know, even Al Sharpton, you had $500,000, not to him personally, of course, but to his National Action Now network. You see, the Reverend Al, you see, is not too cheap if you want his endorsement. Guys, this is an unconscionable amount of money burned through so simply. And sure, many of you might know this already, but Kamala Harris went on this profane podcast called Call Her Daddy with this Cooper lady, and all they talk about is sexual immorality on the podcast. That's all they talk about, and that's the podcast she want to go on. She wouldn't go on Joe Rogan. Oh no, gang, no time for Joe, no time for Joe Rogan. But we can go on this podcast. But she didn't want to travel to the podcast set, so she literally spent the Harris campaign $100,000 to build a set in a Washington D.C. hotel. $100,000. For one 40-minute podcast interview. That is just crazy. That's crazy work. That's crazy work. But the things that I've told you on this program is beginning to come out. See, what had happened was, I told you guys this, when Mr. Joseph Robinette Biden was encouraged by Barack Hussein Obama and them and Nancy Pelosi and all these other folks to get out of the race, they were expecting to have some kind of primary. I told you guys Barack Obama preferred the senator from Arizona, Mark Kelly. Hadn't concluded he was going to be the man, but was leaning towards him and was expecting a primary process. And then all of a sudden, bam, Joe Biden came out and endorsed Kamala Harris. He's like, y'all going to push me out? All right. And so now he's come out and endorsed Kamala Harris, and now they're stuck with her. He saw all those shenanigans, Biden is out, and he all of a sudden puts a Trump hat on. Huh. Everything Kamala Harris is trying to say, Governor Ron DeSantis doesn't cooperate with her concerning storm recovery. Joe Biden says, Ron DeSantis has my cell number. We talk all the time. It is amazing. And then the thing that and a lot of people are asking this question, that James Carville says that the damage that has been done to the Democratic brand over the last decade. Where you been at, James? Now, I'll be fair. In the last couple run-up to the election, James Carville was speaking out against what they were doing. But where you been? Where have you been? Because this, the insanity didn't just start last week. And the thing that's surprising to me is how surprised many of them are. Oh, so you mean to tell me the American people don't want taxpayer dollars going to fund transgender surgeries for prisoners? Oh, silly me. We thought that was a winner. No. Thankfully, no. But no. But that's just the audacity to be still sending out campaign fundraising emails. They sent an email to the New York Times. Kamala HQ, quote, "With Trump nominating MAGA loyalists left and right, there's nothing more important than making sure we can fight back and hold him accountable. That's why we need you to step up today." Yes, today. End quote. That is crazy work. That is crazy work. With no hesitation at all. No, like, don't feel bad at all. Crazy to see that happening. One more story I want you to be aware of. And this is pretty amazing because this has not happened ever since South Korea has become a nation with democratically elected leadership. In the 1980s, it was a militarily controlled nation that moved on to have democratically elected leadership. Its current president, Yoon Suk-yeol, I don't know if I pronounced that properly, has been more center-right in terms of his political orientation. Was elected in 2022, but the parliament in South Korea has been more leftist lately, so they've been at loggerheads in the state, in the nation of South Korea. And so yesterday, old Presidente said, well, I'm not messing with y'all anymore. Martial law is what I shall declare, but the constitution in South Korea allows the parliament to override that martial law declaration by parliamentary action. Listen to and watch clip number one describing a bit of the martial law declaration and how the president then ultimately backed down from the martial law declaration. Clip one.
South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol says he will lift an emergency martial law order after he meets with his cabinet. He made the emergency declaration earlier today, accusing forces in the country's opposition party of sympathizing with North Korea. Lawmakers voted to lift the order as people demonstrated outside of the country's parliament. The National Assembly speaker called the order invalid and said lawmakers will protect democracy with the people.
Now, it's so interesting that this has happened because knowing what the South Korean law states, it's interesting that the president would declare martial law knowing that the parliament could override him immediately. And that's literally what happened. 190 members of the parliament got together and it only required a majority to override it. And they voted unanimously to override the declaration of martial law, which led to the president announcing that he'll rescind the martial law declaration. But it seems that the president was frustrated by the consistent efforts to use process in the parliament to stymie his presidency with impeachment proceedings, investigations, and so on, not with him, but with his allies and others in the government. And so it is a quagmire, to say the least, transpiring over in South Korea. And it's important to note that South Korea is the sole nation in the Asian continent that is known to have a dominant Christian presence. So it's interesting that this has transpired to see what the fallout will be, not only for South Korea, but what would this signal for other nations in the region? Will this impact China's stance with Taiwan? Is something that it's worth our time to be aware of that's happening in the world? You have been listening to The Hamilton Corner. Thank you for tuning into the program. Lord willing, we will be back tomorrow to diagnose the foolishness du jour. You all have a great, great evening. May the blessings of our Lord secure you and your family.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.